Case number 21-7129, Timothy Skrnikov, appellant, versus Federal National Mortgage Association. Mr. Salp for the appellant, Mr. Churchill for the appellee.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning.
Please the court. I'm Micah Salp. I represent plaintiff Tim Skrnikov. I'd like to reserve 4 minutes for rebuttal. Your Honors, when an employer bars an employee from returning to work at the expiration of his or her FMLA-protected leave period, the employer has interfered with the employee's exercise of his FMLA rights. In a scenario like that, the employee has satisfied his or her burden to present a prima facie case of FMLA violation, and at that point, the burden shifts to the employer to demonstrate, try to demonstrate, that its actions were legitimate. But Fannie Mae cannot do that in this case.
Didn't it, Fannie Mae argues in its brief that the job was eliminated.
Fannie Mae does not.
The position was automated and eliminated, and I didn't see a response to that in your reply.
I beg your pardon, Your Honor.
Did I miss something?
Your Honor, I don't think, I'm not sure that Fannie Mae actually made that argument, only that that was the reason for not returning him. Maybe this is a distinction without much meaning, but far more important.
Definitely.
Far more important, Your Honor, is the law that governs such claims. In order to demonstrate that an employee was removed for some other legitimate reason, which of course is perfectly acceptable in an FMLA scenario, you have to demonstrate that the job did not exist when the employee was ready to return.
Is your point that they didn't prove that in the district court? Because that's what they argue in their appellate brief, that the job no longer existed. Isn't that its argument?
That's correct, but there was
What did you say in your reply brief?
I'm afraid I don't remember the words of my reply brief well enough to answer that question, Your Honor, but I will say that this argument was proffered by the defendant without any evidentiary support, but more importantly,
the law requires. That's why I asked you the question. I would have expected you to respond to that.
I'm sorry.
Brief, and I didn't see that.
There was no evidentiary support for that claim. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the evidence shows that they advertised this same position after Mr. Skrnikov was fired. He received a phone call from a headhunter saying, hey, this job looks really good for you. And he said, yeah, it sure does, because it was my job.
So I'm sorry, I have the end of a cold, so my voice is weak. But you said, Mr. Salz, that the employer would have to prove that the job no longer existed when the employee was ready to return to work. I'm not sure I'm following the importance of the timing. If the employee returned to work and one day later, the employer said, getting rid of your job, why wouldn't that be equally a full defense? Why does the timing when the employee was ready to return to work? And let me just put my cards on the table. It seems to me that Fannie Mae wanted to allow Mr. Skrnikov to take the paid leave under its policy. He could have terminated the job and gotten rid of him earlier, but it afforded him the full period paid disability leave before formally eliminating the job.
I'm not sure.
What's wrong with that?
Well, I'm not sure that that's factually correct, Judge Blard, because, in fact, he was covered by this leave policy, and there's no evidence in the record that he would have ceased to be covered by whatever leave policy. Of course, FMLA leave is not ipso facto paid leave. And if Mr. Skrnikov was being paid, there's just nothing in the record that indicates that they had any desire for him to be paid or for him to continue to be paid. But
I'm just saying,
as to the legal.
My real question is, is how you characterize the employer's burden that it had to prove the job no longer exists when the employee was ready to return to work? Can't it just show at any time that the job no longer exists and that's its prerogative?
Yes, absolutely, Your Honor. It is absolutely the employer's prerogative to terminate, to have a reduction in force whenever there is a legitimate termination of a job, or for that matter, if Fannie Mae believed that Mr. Skrinnikov's job performance was inadequate or that his attitude was bad, they could have fired him at any time, even while he was on leave. They didn't do so. They didn't do so because there wasn't evidence in the record to support that. Now, as to the issue of the timing,
don't understand that argument. I'm sorry. That didn't make any sense to me.
Judge Tatel, when somebody's out on FMLA leave, yeah, they're still subject to the ordinary vicissitudes of employment, right?
Yeah.
If there's a reduction in force, you're out of luck. You don't get special protection because you're on FMLA leave. Mm-hmm. However, if the employer wants to say, hey, we got rid of this employee for legitimate reasons,
mm-hmm,
and first and foremost, the employer has to prove that as a matter of fact. And there's no evidence in the record to support that claim. Second,
is the arbitration proceedings not evidence?
It does. It does. And there was a bald assertion by one of the witnesses that that was the reason that they chose not to keep him after his leave period expired. That was what the testimony.
Well, there was testimony by Lori Mallon about and Carrie Lee and Kristen Harrison about automating the position.
Automating?
Yeah, that's what they said was the reason.
I think there's also testimony from Mr. Skrinnikov indicating that he was hired in part to implement that automation. But that automation affected only a very small part of his job. But what's, I think, more important is that Fannie Mae does not hang its hat on having legitimately terminated Mr. Skrinnikov. They claim that it was proper for them to terminate him because he didn't submit his FMLA leave return to duty, fitness for duty certification in time.
That can't be why they terminated him, because he was given all his federal and DC FMLA A leave and also given the short-term disability leave. He got all of that. They gave it all to him. So that can't be, and it wasn't until he returned that they then fired him, listing this other reason.
No, Judge Millett. He had used up his full period of federal FMLA leave. He was then in the position of...
They gave him all of his DC FMLA leave, too, retroactively, but they gave it all to him.
That is true.
Okay.
I mean, I think they also
gave him some of the short-term disability leave, too. Did they not?
He got
till what, November 1st?
I missed that last thing.
He was out until November 1st.
I don't know whether, in fact, he received any short-term disability leave afterwards, but I don't think that's right.
Regardless, he got all of his
leave. This claim is not a denial of leave allowance. This is a claim for denial of job restoration rights and for interference. What Fannie Mae did in that...
How is it interference if he got all the leave at the end of the day? He got it all.
The interference was in his right to be restored to his job.
So that the interference claim is the same as what you called his restoration claim. There's one claim. Yeah, well, right to be restored.
Yeah, I mean, I think as a matter of semantics, I would say that there are two different claims, but effectively they're covered.
The argument is exactly the same, is that he wasn't given his job back.
He wasn't given his job back, and they interfered with his efforts to return to work.
Okay, for your interference claims, I get it. There's two categories. For the interference claims, you cite, you rely on McFadden and Gordon. And those cases require that you show prejudice for your interference claims, right?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I'm sorry. Those cases that you cite for the burden of proof require that you show prejudice. These are for the interference claim, correct?
Yes.
And where have you done that?
Okay. First, I'm not entirely sure that the law in this circuit requires a showing of prejudice.
I was just relying on the cases that you cite.
Okay. But Your Honor,
don't you cite those cases?
I suspect I did. I'll rely on the court's statement. Your Honor, the prejudice is clear. By interfering with Mr. Skrinnikov's ability to come back to work, by barring him from returning to work, Fannie Mae caused him to stay out after his leave period had expired, and therefore he was susceptible of termination for failure to return at the end of his FMLA leave period.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
We'll hear from counsel for Fannie Mae.
May it please the court. Fannie Mae gave Mr. Skrinnikov all that he was entitled to under federal and DC law. The only entitlement with which Fannie Mae allegedly interfered is Mr. Skrinnikov's right to return from protected leave in the period from October 26th to 29th, 2009. This interference claim fails for two independent reasons. First, the record shows that Mr. Skrinnikov was trying to stay out of work until November. Second, DC law imposes none of the procedural requirements that Fannie Mae allegedly violated. Because the first argument is factual, I'd note at the outset Mr. Skrinnikov's agreement on page 4 of his reply that none of the facts on which the district court relied in its opinion are disputed. And this includes the fact that Mr. Skrinnikov went to an urgent care facility and specifically asked for a note allowing him to stay out of work until November 2nd, even though he had already been told by an emergency room that he was medically fit for duty as soon as October 16th. The district court concluded—
So, I understand his claim. He wasn't trying to get further medical leave. He just wanted to take vacation.
Yeah.
And so he's done with his medical leave, and he just says, I'm uncomfortable. Yeah, I could work, but I'm uncomfortable because I have broken ribs. And I have accrued medical leave, and just in my life, I just rather use that now. And then there's this sort of, you know, jerking him around a bit on whether he needs a separate fitness for duty relating to the ribs, and that ends up without telling him during this whole process, actually, we're limiting your job, and actually, you don't need to justify taking your vacation time. It seems like it really was unprofessional at least. How can you explain how Fannie Mae conducted this?
Your Honor, I'd like to respond in two ways. First, Fannie Mae did tell Mr. Skrinnikov how he could obtain the vacation time if he wanted to continue pursuing that route.
Talk to the manager.
Yes, exactly. Speak with the manager. And it's undisputed that he didn't continue to pursue that. Second, the district court found, and I believe it's undisputed, that Fannie Mae required a return to work certification pursuant to its standard policy and practice, acting out of a concern about a duty to ensure that when people come back to the workplace after expressing medical concern, that it's safe for them and for other employees. The record also shows
after expressing medical concern, like that's if you're taking medical leave, isn't it?
Your Honor, an employee doesn't have to expressly invoke the FMLA or the DC FMLA.
If they're seeking medical leave in terms or not, but here he made clear he wasn't seeking medical leave. He was seeking vacation time.
Yeah, I think initially vacation was a possibility that he put out there. When he raised that he wanted time out of work for medical reasons, Fannie Mae understood that it had an obligation to determine whether he was entitled to medical leave and On the other hand, whether he was safe to return to work. They didn't want to prevent him from taking advantage of the rights to which he's entitled under statute or under the company's short-term disability policy and burn vacation time unnecessarily if that was an option that was available to him.
Let me just say, here's one way of reading the record, potentially. You tell me why I'm wrong. Okay, Mr. Skrinnikov, so all the problems started when he, taking the facts in light most favorable to him, wanted to be the truth teller and was concerned that a supervisor wasn't. That he was shunted off into taking leave, some kind of formal leave when he just wanted to use his vacation time by Fannie Mae. And Fannie Mae, and this is in the record, told Reed Group, the special case, special scrutiny. Look at him, his claims, you know, with an exacting eye. Fannie Mae interfered with and overrode Reed Group judgments in a way that it hadn't traditionally, and seemed to be imposing a bunch of ad hoc requirements. And there's a very short time between the end of protected leave and termination. Why isn't that enough to meet a summary judgment, Gordon?
Your Honor, if I could reply, there are several parts of that question, and I'll try to respond in three parts. As for the origin of this issue being Mr. Skrinnikov's desire to ensure that the truth is told to the Senate and a conflict with his manager over that issue, first of all, he withdrew the claim with prejudice.
I'm not saying it's a False Claims Act claim. I'm talking about the record here that Fannie Mae had reason to be irritated with him, to want to get rid of him, be upset with him, to give him special scrutiny, not in a positive way. All right, so I'm not asserting a False Claims Act. That doesn't respond to what I'm saying here is the summary judgment evidence that he's come forward with. Why isn't that enough to defeat Annie Mae's claim for summary judgment?
As to the merits of the truth-telling issue. The contemporaneous record, including Mr. Skrinnikov's notes from the April 28th meeting, where he alleges he discusses with the manager, the complaints that he submitted to Fannie Mae's ethics and compliance, all the contemporaneous records say nothing about what was being reported to the Senate. He actually complained that he's being discriminated against on the basis of national origin, which is a claim he chose not to pursue further. It's undisputed that his responsibilities have been automated. I think trying to read in an alternate reason for his termination is not supported.
Why does it matter that this position was automated? Because the Family Medical Leave Act doesn't require reinstatement to the exact position, as long as it's sort of an equivalent position. So saying this particular one was automated is no answer to the duty to reinstate him.
Yeah, as to that, I think you're right. The record doesn't address, and Mr. Skrinnikov agreed this could be decided on summary judgment. The record, as it's been developed, doesn't address the existence of equivalent roles. I think that's
whose burden was it to show that there was not a role to which he could be returned? Because Fannie Mae just says, "Well, we automated yours." Do you have a case or something to help me understand how that is sufficient or responsive under statutory requirements, so that it simply be that he be restored to an equivalent, the same or equivalent position?
Your Honor, I don't standing here today.
Don't you have to have that?
No, I don't think so, because the record shows that Mr. Skrinnikov was terminated after his leave was exhausted. And so,
sure, but if we write an opinion that says as long as you wait 24 hours after they come back to work or 48 hours, and then terminate them, then we're good with that. And you can terminate them because they can't go to the exact position, even though that's not the test on the Family Medical Leave Act. That would seem to really gut I'm just using collectively the two FMLA's similar requirements of restoration to an equivalent position, to simply say, you can just get rid of the one position and just wait 48 hours.
Your Honor, I think this maybe brings us back to two other parts of your initial question. You mentioned the language about the high level of scrutiny, the special case, and the sensitive case. If you look in the record at pages 501, 503, also 639 to 40 of the joint appendix, what you see is undisputed testimony that the term special case and sensitive case were used to refer to a situation where the company thought there was actually a chance that medical leave might be exhausted. And the reason to apply high scrutiny
is
to make
sure it's not undisputed. The factual evidence to be drawn from those emails is not remotely undisputed. He has a very different reading of what that meant. You're not telling me that's undisputed, are you?
There's no controverting evidence. I agree, he has a different read. But
what evidence did you put into the record that that's what special scrutiny meant?
So,
did you have a declaration or testimony or something like that?
Testimony of the arbitration, the joint appendix citations that I provided.
Yeah. Okay.
Then turning to, give me just one moment. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the ad hoc requirements, and the district court did determine that the requirements Fannie Mae imposed were pursuant to their standing policy. The policies in the record indicate that Fannie Mae required an employee who raises a medical concern to be referred to regroup for evaluation. This was something which applied across the board. It was not expressly used to target Mr. Skrinnikov in any special way. You wanted to see my time is.
Yep. Anything else? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Let's see. Mr. Saab, I think you were out of time, but we'll give you 2 minutes if you'd like it.
Thank you, Your Honor. I don't know any lawyer who would not like.
Well, sometimes they say they don't prefer to.
I'm happy to talk.
2 minutes. 2 minutes.
There are a couple of points that I'd like to make in reply. First, Fannie Mae says when we learned that Mr. Skrinnikov had a rib injury, we had a duty to do something about it. Perhaps so. If we presume that to be true, that duty does not include abridging FMLA. Right. The policy says we refer the regroup. He went to the regroup and the regroup sent him away saying, no, you're fine. You don't need anything else. And Fannie Mae overruled the regroup. Now that overruling is particularly telling because the undisputed testimony was that the regroup's job was to make final determinations regarding leave. Final determinations, not recommendations, not suggestions. Final determination. So Fannie Mae's overruling of the regroup on several occasions and frequently accompanied by what I can describe only as nonsensical explanations is evidence of mendacity and also shows that there wasn't a legitimate basis for rejecting Mr. Skrinnikov's return on that basis.
I just have one thing I want to make clear here, or to make sure I understand clearly here. The relief you want from this court is it to enter a summary judgment in your favor, direct the entry of summary judgment in your favor? Is that your argument, or is it that, no, we need to go back and have a trial? There's clearly disputed facts here that are relevant.
I think that the only way to read the facts in this case is in Mr. Skrinnikov's favor. I do believe that that it was error not to grant summary judgment because none of the facts that are in dispute, the extent that either the facts themselves or maybe the read from the facts are in dispute, are material.
Okay, so that's what you're seeking. You're not seeking
trial. Obviously, I'll take what I can get.
Well, you had your trial thing, and you said you wanted summary judgment instead. So that's why I'm just trying to understand. Your burden on this appeal is to show that the district court erred in not granting summary judgment for you on this record.
Yes, Your Honor. Okay. I believe that the district court erred both in granting summary judgment to Fannie Mae, and if that's as far as this court goes, then it would be a return for a new proceeding Perhaps if this court believes that there are facts in dispute, then the proceeding would have to be a trial before a jury instead of on the papers. If this court agrees with me that there's no way to read the facts in this case other than in Mr. Skrinnikov's favor, then this court should grant summary judgment to Mr.
So, Mr. Salm, you said you thought there was no record evidence that the job had been automated, and I'm looking at the Fannie Mae's statement of material facts not in dispute, where they say by the third quarter or so of 2009, the work was fully automated, primarily fully automated. And I don't take Mr. Skrinnikov's corresponding statement of material facts not in dispute to take issue with that. Just says he doesn't think it's relevant. And I don't see how it could be not relevant if there's a legitimate independent reason. And as you acknowledge in your primary argument, of course, the employer retains the prerogative to let an employee go. They no longer need the employee. So what is your position in light of, at least in my reading, the fact that there is evidence in the record fully automated the job?
Oh, there are a few points, Your Honor. First, I don't think it's fair to say that that issue is responsive to the gravamen of our complaint. Our complaint is that Fannie Mae interfered with Mr. Skrinnikov's return to work. He wants to come back. They say, no, first you need to provide this.
Right, but and even no, granting everything you say, you're right on everything you say, but independently, the job has evaporated. And Mr. Skrinnikov has never said, what about another job? I want to come back to another job. Then what is his, how does he clear that hurdle that for reasons unrelated to his leave, he's being let go?
I think one of the issues, and part of the reason I'm sort of struggling with this, is that this statement that his job had been eliminated was entirely post hoc. That occurred, that issue, that factual assertion arose only at the mediation.
This is not an intent case the way you've litigated it. It's an interference case. So I'm not sure the post hocness matters.
I think it does, Your Honor.
Why?
Because when they state throughout the period where they're tussling, Mr. Skrinnikov, you need to provide a fitness for duty certification. Reed Group says, no, you don't. You're fine. You're clear to go back. Fannie Mae says, oh, no, we're going to overrule. In fact, they lied. They said, no, the Reed Group says you do need a return to work certification. So then they direct the Reed Group to demand that. Now, we have this back and forth, which, as you can imagine, I'd love to go through and endlessly and share with you, but you've read it in the briefs. There's this long back and forth. Never once does Fannie Mae say a word about his job having been eliminated, about him no longer being needed. This issue arose when Fannie Mae was looking for a defense after the fact. And it is simply
done.
It is simply a post hoc rationalization.
Finish your sentence, and unless there's any further questions.
No, thank you. Thank you, Judge.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. The case is submitted.